This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by AgriEdge Excelsior from Syngenta for resourceful growers seeking to enhance productivity. A two-day meeting between U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators stretch into three. That must be good news because we've got the grain markets, hog market, energy markets, and stock markets trading on the plus side of unchanged.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk. We've got a rural roundtable all lined up for you this morning with guests Don Lamb from Indiana and Dennis Bogarts from Iowa. And later on, we'll visit with Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. All that and your phone calls. I'm AgriTalk MC Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis Michelson. Ladies and gentlemen, I am coming to you live from the downtown Cedar Falls studios of Farm Journal. And I'm looking at the guy, the handsome newsman himself, right over there, the other side of the table, Davis Michelson.
So many emotions, so many feelings, just so much warmth inside.
I know.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
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 It's great to see you.
America, I'm here to tell you, he wanted to hug this morning.
I did, badly.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a little... And, you know, I can understand that because it was like 10 degrees and the wind blowing about 30 mile an hour
this morning. Thinking. Yeah.
Just a little bit of warm up time. Sure. Is that all you were?
That's all it was. That's all there was to it.
It's good to see you, man.
Great to see you, brother. What, does somebody draw you a map or something?
Yeah.
You figure out how to use that thing on your phone? Siri, take me to work.
I don't know what you mean, Chip.
Oh, man. It is good to be back in the office for a little bit. Just so that people understand exactly what's going on, we have had a little bit of technical difficulty with some issues.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we got them cleaned up. So
don't say that.
I'm sorry, but I'll probably have to see you a little bit more now.
Okay. Okay.
You okay with this?
I'll take all you can give, brother.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, I'm looking forward to the conversation. You just renamed Wednesday's show.
Did you like that one?
The Rural Roundtable.
Yeah.
Rather than the Farmer Forum.
Right.
Farmer Forum, so formal.
Yeah.
The Rural Roundtable, I think I like that a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And two really, really good participants in the roundtable today.
Sure,
I kind of
like
it. Yeah. We've got Don Lamb coming on. We've got Dennis Bogarts coming on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show, we're going to be talking with Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. So it should be a good show. You know what? Let's go ahead and roll right into it. What's happening in the news?
Sure thing, Chip. Well, Republicans and Democrats are scheduled to return to the bargaining table today. That's after last night's televised remarks from both camps showing no resolution is imminent. President Trump did not declare a national emergency at the southern border, but did call the situation a crisis in an attempt to get Congress to bend to his demands to fund a border wall. The president also invited leading lawmakers from both parties to the White House for talks this afternoon.
Yeah, I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been so much better if they would have taken Schumer, Pelosi, and Trump and put them back in front of the TV cameras in the Oval Office and just let them have it out for a little while.
I thought you were going to say cage match.
Yeah, but let them have it out for the way that it was last night. To me, Trump was uninspiring.
Mm.
Pelosi and Schumer.
They looked weird.
That was from The Walking Dead or something right there. That was bad. That was really bad. And if you ask me, Trump wasn't that much better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked about this yesterday when the news broke, but USDA has delayed the deadline for applications for the Market Facilitation Program payments. Yeah. Farmers had until January 15 to apply for the tariff relief payments, but applications were stopped by the partial government shutdown. That's when Farm Service Agency offices closed December 28. USDA will resume taking applications for MFP when the government shutdown ends. The deadline will extend for as many days as FSA offices are closed
right
by the ongoing shutdown.
That makes sense. May 1 deadline to provide production evidence has not changed. You still got to have that in by May 1.
Okay. China and the U.S. have completed trade talks, which were extended into a third day. While differences linger on some of the more difficult issues, progress was reportedly made on energy and agriculture. I like the sound of that. Mm-hmm. According to a USTR official, talks between the U.S. and China focused on Beijing's pledge to buy a, quote, substantial amount of American agricultural, energy, and other goods and services, the U.S. Trade Representative's office said in a statement. The statement also said officials discussed the need for a deal to provide verification and effective enforcement. The U.S. delegation will now report back for guidance on next steps, the statement said. Quickly, the next meeting towards resolving the standoff will be higher-level talks between the U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer and Vice Premier Liu He, President Xi Jinping's top economic aide. Those are expected to happen later this month. Could be in February after the Chinese New Year, which, by the way, Chip, runs from Feb 5 to the 11th. So it could be mid-February before we resume talks again here.
Most important thing, okay, pro-farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer put together a very short summary of the statement that came from the talks. The focus is on ag and the purchases of agricultural commodities from the U.S., but, boy, Jim really focused on the verification part that they talked about,
really
didn't he?
That's vital.
And it really is. This gets back to some of the comments. I don't remember who said it. In the second hour of the show here recently, the attitude was, this is great. Mm-hmm. This is great. We're going to have an agreement. But at the same time, how are we going to know if they actually follow through with anything? All right. Thanks, Davis.
You betcha.
Let's bring in Dave DeFault. Dave is with Simplot Grower Solutions. And Dave, congratulations. Retailer of the year. That's quite the honor.
Hey Chip, thank you very much, and I will certainly accept that congratulations on behalf of all our employees. We have about 1,700 employees throughout the company, and this is just a great way to honor and recognize those folks out in the field that are getting it done every day. And you know what? Mm-hmm. This retail business doesn't get any easier, and they're doing good work out in the field. So thank you, Chip. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
Very, absolutely. And you know the award, the Retailer of the Year, is sponsored by Ag Retailers Association, Bear, Ag Pro, which normally we'd be talking to Margie in here, and it's that You said it, Dave. I mean, it's not getting any easier out there, but some of the technology that you guys are using is making everybody more efficient out there in the retailer sector.
That's exactly right, Chip. I think about 20 years ago when we look at a field, and we basically looked at a field, whether it was a 130-acre pivot or 160-acre quarter section of land or what have you. And today, through technology, what we're trying to do is maximize the yield, maximize productivity on each of those acres. And one of the things we're always looking at is sustainable production, following the four R's, doing the right things for our customers, doing the right things for really the environment and everything. But to look at that field and go, okay, let's not fertilize that part of the field for anything more than it can produce, and really taking a look at that and all our technologies on Precision Ag, our Smart Farm offering, and drilling them down, it's pretty exciting what's happening out there, and we just love working with our growers out in the country to help them be profitable during these tougher times.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, making sure that we can stay profitable out there on that side of the equation, no doubt. Dave, again, congratulations to you, and continued success for JR Simplot.
Hey, thanks, Chip. Appreciate you taking the time, and all the best.
Very good, very good. That is Dave DeFault with Simplot Grower Solutions. We'll be right back with Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. For years, grower Heath Atkinson struggled to keep an accurate, comprehensive record of the daily activities and expenditures on his family's 16,000-acre corn, cotton, rice, soybean, and wheat operation in Osceola, Arkansas. To confront his management challenges, Atkinson turned to the AgriEdge Excelsior Whole Farm Management Program. Heath, how does AgriEdge Excelsior help your operation stay profitable?
Well, it allows you to know what you've spent on a field-by-field basis, you know, or a crop. You know, you can break it down several ways, and it helps us to know what's profitable and what's not. I love the inventory side of it, being able to know what we've purchased and what we've applied. To be profitable in this business, you've got to know your expenses and what you've applied, and that it just all goes well together.
For more information on AgriEdge Excelsior, growers can contact their Syngenta rep or head over to www.agriedge.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF LibertyLink system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgro Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand filter, so I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components, so dust and contaminants, they're your problem, bro.
John Deere filters. Don't risk it with anything less. Get 10% off your John Deere filter packs at your John Deere dealer or at johndeerestore.com. Offer ends February 28, 2019 on filter packs for subcompact and compact utility tractors. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealers or johndeerestore.com for details. johndeerestore.com available in U.S. only.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is the place to network with others.
I also love the innovation and the excitement here. My favorite thing is the networking, though. I love making relationships with the vendors at the booths, the growers from around the country. It's great because you can take that home and continue to draw on those resources when you're back at the farm.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
I didn't even see your lips moving while you did that.
Yeah, yeah. I've been working on my ventriloquism. The sound actually came out of my coffee cup.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
But what? I was right. 855-4-TALK-AG.
That's exactly right. Yes. Guys, listen. We've talked about it on the show already, but we need to stress it. Here's the deal. If you want, we want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you need to let us know what it is that you want to talk about. Give us a call, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with some subjects. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it.
Yeah.
Couple of things here that we need to kind of stay focused on. I loved one of the headlines in Pro Farmers First Thing today this morning.
Yeah.
A wall between Republicans and Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That's good stuff.
Here's the thing. If you press them, if you pressed Pelosi, if you pressed Schumer, I'll bet that they agreed with 90% of what Trump said last night.
Mm-hmm.
I really would.
Yep.
But when you start talking about that physical barrier, that's when you start to get the divergence between the two. And the thing is, it's not that long ago. Just go back to the Obama administration, and Schumer was right there saying, right there alongside of Obama saying, yeah, you know what? The Republican Party is making it difficult on us to secure America because we don't have a wall.
Right, right.
Now, was it a full-length wall? Maybe, maybe not. It's hard telling exactly what they were shooting for. But you change the resident of the White House, you change the party of the White House, and these guys out in D.C. flip and flop with whoever's in the White House on how they feel about the wall along the southern border.
Right, right.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
Is this so? You would, I feel like you're suggesting, is this just sort of part of the anti-Trump, anything but Trump? Does that leak out into anything but Trump's ideas?
It is a political volleyball.
I mean, couldn't Trump have said, if that's the case,
yeah,
what we're going to do? We're going to give banana splits to everybody that tries to come across the southern border. No! Right. Shut it down!
Right. Yes. That's banana splits.
You know?
I think maybe Chuck and Nancy would go along with the idea of giving them a banana split.
Okay.
That might be okay.
Okay.
But when it comes to that physical barrier, boy, that's where the divide comes up. And and like I said, it's a political volleyball. This might be one of those things that neither the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party would go along with, simply because you've got to have a political issue that you can fight the White House with. So I'm not putting any you know what? If the party of Trump gets this wall built,
yeah,
I'm going to be impressed.
Right.
Because I think he's going to have to do it without the support from the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. It's going to have to be on the party of Trump that gets this thing done. I'm sorry, I think the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, if the wall would get built, they'd both be disappointed. Simply because you can't fight the White House, whoever's sitting in the White House, over the issue anymore.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be the end of that.
Yeah. Too bad, wouldn't it?
I wonder what...
That right there is good enough reason, go ahead and build the...
Right.
dadgum wall.
What would... Okay, so speculate for me.
All right.
In that event...
Yeah.
What would be the next issue, the next sticking point, the next wall? Where would that come from?
Well, it all leads right into immigration reform then, right? There are lots of really good ideas out there when it comes to immigration reform. And again, there's a lot of bipartisan agreement on what needs to be done when it comes to immigration reform. And I would say that there is very little motivation in either party to actually get anything done. Because once it's done, it's no longer an issue.
Right, right.
It's no longer a political issue.
That's a scary thought that you're suggesting here.
Oh, you mean the fact that the fact that both Republicans and Democrats really don't want to solve too many of these big issues, because then, you know... I think that's the bottom line on a lot of this. They don't want to see these issues go away.
Wow.
Keeps them in business.
Would that include, and then of course that means the lock and dams are never going to get fixed.
Nah.
Doesn't it?
We're going to get to the point on the locks and dams and infrastructure and bridges and roads and potholes and all of that stuff. You get to a certain point where that just has to get done.
Because they just physically, mechanically,
look at the
just don't work.
Yeah, look at the bridge in Minneapolis not that long ago fell.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is a huge wake up call to the rest of the country that we need to get some things done out there and improve our infrastructure. Yeah. So infrastructure, I think, is a little bit of a different gig.
Well, that makes sense.
And it's like I talked about with Ken Erickson yesterday. The infrastructure thing, it interests me so much. Number one, because I think it is a marketing advantage for U.S. farmers. It gives us that slick exit of product out of the U.S. when it comes to ag commodities. And it gives us an opportunity to backhaul some of the things that we need here in the middle of the country, right, whether it's steel, fertilizer. I don't care what you put on a barge and bring it back up the river. It's cheap transport for a lot of that product as well. But the infrastructure thing, like I said, it eventually you got to deal with it
sure.
because it breaks down.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, the World Bank has cut the global economic outlook.
Oh, it has?
Yeah. And the shutdown isn't going to make it any easier to get any more optimistic on the global economic outlook.
Okay.
The federal employees here in the U.S. that they will get paid, mm-hmm. they will get their back pay. So TSA agents, please, please continue to show up for work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Air traffic controllers, please continue to show up for work. All of you guys that are out there working on the federal, in a federal job that, you got to go to work and not get paid. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. Please keep doing it because those are the services that, that we need on a regular basis to help grease the wheels of the economy out here. And still, you've got, what is it, 800,000 people, something like that, that are have been furloughed.
Yep.
Well, a lot of those employees are just like you and just like me.
Sure.
I mean, that paycheck every couple of weeks is pretty dadgum important.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what greases my economic wheels.
Sure.
At home.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and one thing that I'm hearing more and more about is the potential for delays in people getting their tax returns.
Yes.
And I know, especially young families, a lot of them have come to rely on that spring bonus, you might call it, that spring return.
You know, and I used to think that way too.
Yep. Yep.
But why give them a dollar when they to use when you don't have to?
Right.
I mean, boy, if we get to the end of the year and we put the taxes together and we owe a little bit, perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be fine. You're not in the business of lending money to the government?
No, not interest-free.
Nice little side job there for you.
Not interest-free. I'm not.
But younger, there are a lot of people that don't think that way. They don't see it that way. They can't.
Davis, that is exactly how I was.
Yep.
You know, if we pay a little extra tax during the year, it's okay because we're all going to get it back. And then I'm going to go out and buy that washing machine that I need. Or that's when we're going to go out and get a new vehicle. Or that's when we're going to get new carpeting. Mm-hmm. Oh, a huge number of people do that.
Yep.
And now we're bumping up against it. So, but we're into the 19th day. 19th day of the shutdown.
Okay.
So President Clinton had a shutdown for 21 days. I think Trump just wants to be in the record books on this.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. He's a showman, if nothing else.
Trade talks went from 2 days to 3 days. Yep. I think that was good news. We're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment with the rural roundtable.
The rural roundtable, yes.
I kind of like it. I don't know if I can say rural that often, though.
Rural. It's
rural.
Rural. We got rural. Don Lamb. We got Dennis Bogards. We got you. We got me.
Yep.
That makes a square. In order to make a round table, we need you. Yes, you. I know you're listening. 855-4-TALK-AG. Hop on here. The Rural Roundtable's coming up at you.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can also tweet at us. Just make sure that you include that hashtag AgriTalk in it. And we've got one coming in from at SJLee42. Any follow-up on nitrogen prices in Weber, Iowa?
No follow-up yet.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit with the guys. That's coming up next on the Rural Roundtable here on AgriTalk.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is.
Oh, Ed, look, it's Credenz Liberty Link GT27.
I know, Adna. He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2+ bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, A lot of green on the grain markets here today. Pretty impressive day.
Yeah, so far, Chip. Hopefully we can hold it into the close, though. You know, we've got about 3 to 5 cent gains in the bean market, 1 to 2 cents higher in corn. And wheat futures, they're up about 3 to 4 cents in most of the contracts. So a lot of it's tied to China and optimism there on the trade talks. You know, they were extended for a third day, and they concluded earlier today over in Beijing, a focus on agricultural purchases, although we didn't get actual quantities there. And,
right.
And that's something that the market's kind of been clamoring for. You know, we've talked about it with the market being somewhat disappointed that we can't get any kind of confirmation out of Chinese purchases at this point with USDA offices closed.
Absolutely. And talking about the verification process in the agreement with China is, I think, a good step in the right direction there as well. Hog trade, we've got some gains going on in the lean hog trade.
Well, the hog market should get excited. We know about the African swine fever issue that China's facing right now and the fact that numbers are dwindling because of that. We also know that China relies heavily on pork for protein, and as a result, it should lead to more demand for U.S. pork. The problem is we just haven't got any confirmation of that. I think the Chinese talks moving in a positive direction is helping that market today, along with continued strength in the cash market. And I think it's 9 days in a row now that we've seen that strength.
And some speculation that China's going to lower some tariffs, right?
Potentially as part of that trade deal, yes.
Yeah.
And that all goes into the demand side of it.
Good stuff. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It is the Rural Roundtable here on AgriTalk.
And, you do like that, don't
you?
I do.
I'm trying to get used to it, and I think I'm already there.
Okay.
The Rural Roundtable. It's the old farmer farm thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we could go with the Gravel Road Gab Crew or something like that.
Coffee shop. Nah.
Yeah? No?
No.
No?
No. Rural. I like the Rural Roundtable.
We'll have to practice saying rural.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Dennis Bogarts from Iowa joins us. Dennis, how are you? Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Hey, doing pretty good today, Chip. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Don Lamb's out in Indiana. He joins us, is back on the forum or the roundtable, whatever we're going to call it. Don, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I struggle with rural myself, but I'll try to adapt.
Excellent. Excellent.
Glad to be here.
Great. Don, what you doing today?
Well, I'm currently in a lobby of a Westin hotel, and is where Indiana Farm Bureau is having their legislative kickoff today, where our Indiana legislature is getting cranking. And so it's kind of their kickoff for priority issues that are important to Farm Bureau here in Indiana. So we're talking about that.
Yeah. So this all leads into Is it an education effort that you go through there in the state of Indiana, Don, or are you just trying to keep the state lawmakers engaged in some of the agricultural issues?
I tell you, I am really fortunate. I feel really blessed to live in Indiana. It is a good ag state. We had the governor, Eric Holcomb, spoke to us to kick it off today, and of course he took the place of a guy named Mike Pence, and we've really had a really friendly agriculture legislative relationship, and these kind of things always remind you how important that is. It really is issues. We've probably talked about 10 different issues that are focal points for agriculture in Indiana, and here we have a pretty good shot at getting that message across to our legislators. So it's a good system.
Yeah, Dennis, we're kind of fortunate here in Iowa as well, because it seems like our leaders have a good grasp of how important agriculture is to the state, don't they?
Well, I think for the most part we do. You know, we got two new senators, two new congresswomen this year, and I guess I don't know a lot about them. They're outside of my territory, and I didn't, you know, do as much research and understanding of what they know. So I'm kind of hoping that since they're from Iowa, they have some ties to farming, and they'll be a little easier to talk to. But, you know, in that case, you just never know. But for the most part, everybody else has got a pretty good understanding of farming, I think. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Dennis, what did you think of the of President Trump's Oval Office address to the nation last night?
I think he said what I think most Republicans thought he was going to say, or even most Democrats. I don't know that there was any big surprises, that came out of it. I guess I was kind of neutral on what he said. I thought he did okay, but I don't know that there wasn't anything that I went, yeah, that exactly. That's what, it was just kind of a, it's the same thing that he's been saying, and the Democrats kind of said the same thing that they have been saying, and I'm not sure that we made a whole lot of ground last night.
Don, I don't know if the needle moved in either direction last night with the Trump address or with the response from Pelosi and Schumer.
Right. If you read the transcript of what he said, personally, I think it all makes perfect sense, and I think it's very logical, and I think it's things as far as the border security, however you want to term that, border security, border wall, it all makes sense. It just seems like both sides are so divided and so dug in, it just doesn't quite matter what makes sense and what doesn't, and it's all talking points at this point. It's frustrating because you feel like nobody's really looking at the details of the issue. They're just looking at the big picture of politics and power.
Yeah.
Well, and I might pose this question to the both of you good folks, but there was a lot of talk that Trump got voted in, partially at least, on the backs of rural voters. I wonder if either of you have seen maybe some of that support erode, or does this encourage that support in any way? What's happening with support for the president at this point from where you guys are at?
I guess I don't see support eroding, I guess, for President Trump from the people that I know that were supporters. I really believe that, the nice thing, I guess, that I've seen from him is that, what he campaigned on, he's trying to do.
Yes.
And in the past, I've heard a lot of politicians make a lot of promises and then they just go on with the same old, same old. So that's one thing that I do appreciate from him, is he is working on what he said and what he campaigned on.
I would really agree with that. I mean, Trump is Trump, and he makes me nervous, and he says things that I don't like and all that. So that's all out there for sure. I think what you're seeing an erosion of is faith in the whole process. I feel like, yes, there's somebody who's just trying to get it done, trying to follow through on campaign promises. And because those were campaign promises on one side of the political aisle, the other side, will not let it happen, even if it's a good idea. Yeah. And I know that goes both ways. It's not just, the Democrats or the Republicans.
Sure.
It goes both ways. So the process is where I see the erosion coming in. That something has to change there.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And part of this gets back to the campaign promises that were made. I mean, seriously, I get how President Trump was out there saying, listen, we're going to build a wall, and doggone it, we're going to get Mexico to pay for it. I don't know any of his supporters that really believed that Mexico was going to directly pay for that wall.
Right.
But on the other side of the aisle, they take it so literally that if every penny isn't paid for by Mexico, then he failed.
Right.
It's
and that's what I would say. I just think that's an example of when I talk about Trump being Trump. I just wish, because there are times it really does hurt the cause the way he says things.
Yeah.
Says things. And that's the part that hurts. Big picture, it's great. The small details, he's awful at.
Yeah. Yep. And as I can look at some of the things that he says and kind of laugh and be like, oh yeah, he's kidding around, or he's joking, and that's how we would talk with our friends about stuff. But, the other side looks at it as he's serious and he's going to try to make them pay for it. When we're all sitting around going, yeah, all right. Yeah. Good luck with that. That kind of thing. So.
That's exactly right.
Well, and him approaching it from the business standpoint, I think puts a whole different spin on what it means for someone else to pay for it. Yeah. If he's thinking about it as a corporation rather than a political move, we're gonna present a bipartisan agreed to bill, and Mexico's gonna write us a check that says wall in the memo line. I think is what most people are thinking, and I don't think he sees it that way at all.
No, that's exactly right. Hey guys, I got to change gears on you here real quick. I want to talk about this trade meeting between the U.S. and China. And Dennis, let's start with you on this, because U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has said that he thinks that we can come to a deal with China that, quote, we can live with, that, quote, China can live with. Dude, is that good enough? I mean, a deal that we can live with, is that good enough? You guys growing soybeans out there have taken on a lot of risk through all of this. I hope that we get something that we can feel good about, better, which to me is better than we can live with it.
Well, and I look at that, and I think that's Washington is normal in these trade deals. It seems like we've always settled with a deal that we can live with, and sometimes I think we got to put our foot down and say no, this is not good enough. And the trade war, if you will, has went on a little longer than I had thought it would, or I had hoped that it would. But I'm not ready to give in and say, you know, let's give in and have something that we can live with. You know, if we're going to do this and we've waited this long, let's make it something that works well for America and make China settle for once. That'd be great in my book.
Yeah. Don, what do you think there?
I would agree with that. I'm pretty proud, honestly. I think agriculture has done a really good job, a commendable job through all this, at basically saying, hey, let's do it and let's do it right. We're willing to pay part of the price. Any negotiation does that. I think we're getting tired. I think like Dennis said, it's probably lasted a little longer than we thought. And we're afraid, I think, because we don't know the details, we're afraid there's parts of this market that may never come back the way it was, which makes us nervous.
Right.
So I think we're nervous and skittish because we don't have the confidence in the details. But I think we've been committed. I think agriculture has shown, to be we're proud of our country and we want to do well.
Yeah, patriotic occupation here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. And, guys, this a deal that we can live with, as soon as I heard it, I flashed back to the comments going into the farm bill renegotiations. Let's do no harm. NAFTA renegotiations. Let's do no harm. I think we're past that, Dennis. Let's get past the do no harm and get something right.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got to do it right, and because I don't want to have to keep revisiting this or have some other industry come in and say, well, we didn't get a fair share, and we got to renegotiate this side of it or whatever. You know, let's do it right. We're far enough into this thing now. Let's get it right.
Because, Dennis, you know that if that happens and another industry steps up and says, doggone it, we didn't get our fair share out of that, if we go back into it, agriculture is going to be the target of any retaliation on any move. So you're exactly right. Let's get this right. Let's get it done. Let's get it done right. All right. When we come, we're off and rolling on the Rural Roundtable. Joining us next is going to be Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. First time on the show. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be talking about Farmers First.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
And joining us is Jason Derschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa. Jason, I got to know, did you notice any difference in plant health with the Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year?
We did. Late season, we're still seeing a healthy plant standing. good. It's got some green to it yet, and we're pretty late in the season now at this point. So, yeah, we've definitely seen better plant health. Everything stood good through the summer. We had a pretty wet year and quite a few decent wind events, 50, 60-mile-an-hour winds, and we didn't see any lodging or any tipping at the roots or anything. So, yeah, definitely very good plant health.
Boy, and with the growing season that you've had up there in north central Iowa, Jason, that's saying a lot, no question about it. Okay, you've still got some crop out in the field, but you've started to bring that corn crop in. Are you seeing any yield differences with Pancho Vetiva 2.0?
We did. We've seen about 5 to 10 bushel over anything else we've been in. So, and we're running 1250 on everything else. So I'd say we're picking up another probably 5 bushel at least on the 2.0.
Yeah, so you got plans to use more PV 2.0 for next year?
I do. I plan to use it on everything.
And what is the big reason? What does PV 2.0, what does it really give you? Is it the protection against the nematodes?
It is. It's that and early season plant health and a better uptake of nutrients. I mean, it's just an all-around healthier looking plant.
Yeah, and again, if those yield differences, that's putting that, we're talking about some real money. And a great return on your investment.
Yeah, and not just the yield, the plant health late in the season, because we've had a lot of corn lodge this year. I mean, a lot of stuff that didn't have the root structure that it needed to withstand the wet weather and the wind. And the 2.0 definitely stood and had better plant health than anything else we've had.
That's great to hear, Jason. Thank you so much. That's Jason Gerschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's a rural roundtable.
It is a rural roundtable.
Here on a Wednesday edition of AgriTalk in the first hour.
You know, in Brazil, they would call it a roundtable rural.
Rural.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they would.
Yeah. I don't just make this stuff up.
It feels like you've researched that.
A little bit. Too much.
Right. On the show today, we've got Dennis Bogards from Iowa, Don Lamb from Indiana, and joining us now is Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator, thank you so much for making the time to be with us today.
Delighted to join you. Thank you so much.
All right. Now, last week on the Farmer Forum, we had a conversation with Kansas Senator Jerry Moran, and we talked about Farmers First, and I made a promise to Senator Moran, Senator Baldwin, that we would continue to make a big deal about Farmers First because it is so important. Don, Dennis, yeah. It's about mental health. It's about addressing mental health out in rural America. It is something that we're going to stay focused on here, Senator, and tell us about your role in it.
Well, I co-authored the Farmers First Act, introducing it early last year, mm-hmm. with my colleague from Iowa, Joni Ernst.
Yep.
Both of us hear a lot from our farmers. In Wisconsin, I can tell you that especially with, you know, Wisconsin's America's dairy land, so we have a lot of focus on dairy, and with prices so low, and then the added problems with retaliatory tariffs on cheese, and I would say other products that Wisconsin produces, the stress level is just, yeah. You know, incredible, as everybody knows. And it's throughout agriculture, but I see it a very pronounced fashion in dairy, where we lost over 600 dairy farms, mostly small and medium-sized, last year. And so making sure that we are prepared to, first of all, see warning signs and be able to reach out and, you know, have someone to talk to when you're facing this sort of enormous stress that our agricultural sector and particularly dairy is facing right now. So we introduced this measure, then we pushed to have it included in the farm bill because we wanted to, you know, get it across the finish line as soon as we could. And it is in the farm bill, but now we have the added chaos of a partial government shutdown delaying implementation of so many of those farm bill provisions.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the Farmers First Act is something that we need to stay focused on here. Dennis, when it comes to mental health, and I know that you're active out on social media, Don, you are too, but Dennis, on the mental health issues that we face as farmers, it feels like it's getting easier to talk about. Is it?
I think it just depends on the person. I do think that we're getting used to talking about this more in the farming world, and I think my dad would have never talked about that, especially on social media, but. I think it's getting better, and I have a couple of guys around me that I know have had some financial problems, and one of them, really struggled and was in some depression and had some had a real tough time of what he went through. So I think it's a very important topic, and anything we can do to help out and what the senator's doing, I think is great, I think it's all going to help.
Yeah, Don, the senator pointed out, and I think Wisconsin is one of those kind of a hotbed for some of these issues that we're talking about. But hey, it's not just in Wisconsin. It's not just Iowa. It's across the Midwest that we kind of got to keep an eye on our neighbors, don't we?
I think we sure do. If I don't mind. I was thinking about, we talk about it being under specifically financial stressful times, and Wisconsin's going through really tough times. We're all struggling somewhat on that level. But when you think about agriculture in general, there's a lot of stress. And really with the size of farms, with the liability that's out there now, with all the combativeness there seems to be at every turn, how you do things, when you talk about the question, what keeps you up at night, my first thought is almost always how I feel about what I'm doing. Do I really feel good about what I'm doing, and am I being responsible, and I've got employees to take care of. And so stress is a big thing in agriculture. It always has been, but I think it's getting much, much bigger as we get bigger in farms.
So, Senator, here's a couple of guys that are behind all the efforts to make the mental health services more readily available across rural America.
Absolutely, and all the points that were just made, it just speaks to the fact that we have to do more in rural areas. There's many of the rural communities in Wisconsin have no psychologist, no psychiatrist. Not that that's where we would start necessarily, anyways. But what I want to stress is, having resources for neighbors to help neighbors is really key.
Yep.
And so, creating this grant program through the USDA to provide funding for state departments of agriculture, cooperative extension, and nonprofit organizations that are present in the community and interacting on a daily basis with farmers and others who depend upon the health of our agricultural sector for their small businesses. This is, I think, something that has to be rejuvenated. We've done it before during times of crisis. We need to keep it up.
Absolutely. Senator, thank you so much for making time for us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. That is Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. Don, good luck with you at Farm Bureau meeting there, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right. I appreciate being on. Thanks a lot.
All right. And Dennis, it's always good to talk with you. We'll talk with you soon as well.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Chip. All right. That's Dennis Bogard in Iowa and Don Lamb over in Indiana. And, of course, Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today.
She's part of the solution.
She is.
I'm so glad we had her on.
I am, too.
Working with Joni Ernst, that's real issue.
It is a real bipartisan effort that is going on out there to make that mental health, address the mental health issues across the country. Yep. So, hey, come back this afternoon for another hour of AgriTalk. We're going to be talking with Garrett Toy from First Choice Commodities.
Done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to AgriEdge Excelsior for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative to connect with an AgriEdge specialist in your area.